This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Is the Blitz.
What up? What up? 10:07 a.m. Welcome in to the Blitz. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming live on Periscope, on Facebook and Twitter, and in the Fan Run app. Charlie Collier, Will Stevens, and GP3 back behind the board, pushing all the buttons. Boys, we're it's hump day. We're about that midpoint in the week, getting closer and closer to Omaha. How are y'all doing? How was y'all's day yesterday? Y'all doing pretty good?
Not a bad day at all. I mean, a stressful night. Obviously, we'll get into it, but my Nets pull out the win, so I was able to enjoy that. There was some good hockey last night that was going on. A lot of penalties, a lot of fighting. That's just the best version of hockey. So some good hockey last night to watch. Just enjoyed sports.
Oh, I thought I was about to sneeze.
Bless you in advance. GP, how are you doing, man?
I am doing fantastic.
Silent sneeze?
Yeah, it's a professional right there.
I had your mic muted just in case.
Oh, well, okay.
But no, yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Today's a good day.
Today's a great day. Today's the last day of your 75-day challenge.
Yes, it's hard to believe when you first start it. You never think you're going to see the end of it, but yes, 75 days will come to fruition today.
Well, that's because most people don't see the end of it. You're an anomaly of actually seeing things through. I respect that about you.
Oh. Yeah, no, well, I'm very much respected. We're very proud of you, GP3.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. But I still got one day left. Yeah, I can't fail today.
Yeah, don't screw
do
up.
Not mess up today. Please.
That'd be like doing a backflip at graduation and not getting your diploma. You got all the way there and you just over-celebrated.
Yeah, man. Oh.
Chuck, how are you doing, man?
Good.
Can I call you Chuck? My dad goes by that every now and then because his name is Charlie. So
yeah, no, I get called Chuck.
Good.
Chance calls me Chuck a lot.
I wanted to make sure I didn't overstep.
I hear Chuck, Charlie, Charles, Charlie Bob. Like, yeah, you know, you can really go by a lot. I'm good, man. Yesterday was maybe the prettiest day I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really?
I mean, it was 82, not a cloud in the sky. And I went to the quarry for like 6-7 hours.
Just floating?
Just rented. I like to just swim.
Oh, you're a big
just
swimmer?
Just tread water, yeah.
I don't like swimming, man. I'm water's scary.
So I treaded water for like 6 hours yesterday.
Fair enough.
So I'm very tired.
Well, you also mentioned that you weren't home until about 1 a.m. as well, so that probably plays into the tired factor as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe closer to 12.
But 30. It was mostly the water.
Yeah. You know, I did rent a paddle board,
really?
but then I gave it to the dog that was with us because the dog got tired of swimming. So then the dog just sat on the paddle board and I just floated.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you've been here for your entire life, right? Knoxville?
Oh, I was about to say, not Fan Run, but yes, Knoxville.
You ever go to that quarry?
No, I have not. Like I said, I'm scared of water. We lived on the lake, so if we went out on the water, it was usually just off of our dock or something.
Wait,
like
so
that.
You're scared of water and also lived on the lake?
Okay, so I don't want to say, like, I'm scared of water, but, like, I don't just, like, openly enjoy just, like, swimming in oceans or lakes or stuff like that. Like, if I'll go out on a boat. I have no problem going out on the boat. I'll hop in every now and then to take a leak. Like, sorry for the fish that I have to, like, just swim in my pee. But, like, you're going to hop in, take a pee. I might float around. Might throw a life jacket on as a diaper and just sit around and float like that. But, like, not a big just, like, jumping in a quarry and swimming. I've never been up there.
Well, that's fair.
I'm also terrified of heights. So jumping off of cliffs and stuff.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, I don't do that either. I just walk in.
Fair.
Like, I'm walking into a pool.
But, like, the way the quarry sounds, like, every quarry I've ever imagined just is just a straight down cliff. You know what I mean?
There's entrances and stuff. It's the official, like, state park one, the IAMS one.
Oh, okay.
I was only half paying attention. Did you say anything about pools? Will you go swimming in, like, just a regular pool?
Yeah, I'll go swim. I mean, like, I
can you swim?
Yeah, I can swim. Not very well, but I can swim. Like, I didn't have swimming lessons, but I don't drown. I won't get in if there's a ton of kids, because, like, I know they're peeing up
they're
in
there.
They're
all peeing.
And, like, I pee in the pool. I'm not going to pretend I don't, but, like, I'm not trying to hop in.
What?
You really just going to sit here and pretend that you don't?
Never in my life.
Charlie, you of all people.
What is that supposed to mean?
You seem like the one person, if I said I pee in the pool, who would have my back of, yeah,
no.
We pee in the pool.
I grew up, like, pool in the backyard, like, very, very anti. I don't want anyone peeing in my pool.
Yeah, no, you don't want anyone peeing in your pool, but you
exactly.
can pee in your pool.
No, I don't.
It's your pool. You can pee in it.
Like, I
wouldn't want someone just randomly using my toilet, but I'm going to use my toilet.
Like, at this point in my life, like, I might have peed thousands of places. Like, I'll go anywhere I want, but a pool is not one of them.
Fair enough. But no, I worked at a gym that had a bunch of pools, so I've seen some gross things that go on in pools from kids, so I try to steer clear of a giant group of kids. Public pools, not my cup of tea. Private pool, I'll hop in every now and then, though.
A little bougie. Boys, we got a big day. This morning, just all the weirdest NBA news possible dropped. We had a crazy game last night. We're going to continue to preview Omaha today, talk a little bit more about Tennessee football. And big guest today, Aaron Fitt, one of the editors over at D1 Baseball, one of the guys over there, is joining us at 11:05 at the top of the second hour to talk the Vols and to talk Omaha.
Sounds
excited
good.
About this one.
Someone real educated on the college baseball sport.
Like, I consider one of the two smartest college baseball people in America, him and Kendall Rogers. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, he's the man. He's been doing it for a long time.
Where do you rank Logan Quinton? We said he has to be
five.
At least top five.
Top five, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, top five. Also, got the announcement yesterday. I'm sure we didn't really need it. It was all kind of assumed, but Nealon, 100% capacity.
Yeah. The ticket plans came out yesterday.
Got a nice little tweet, the ticket plans, a nice little video. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how close we'll be able to get to actually filling it 100% of the way at any point this year.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think attendance will be good for the start of the season.
And I think baseball has kind of done something for football in terms of just getting the energy back on campus. And because it is, I mean, we're playing well into now June, and you can kind of season starts in September, if I'm not mistaken.
It's either late August
or
early
exactly.
September.
So you can kind of move that emotion to the next sport fairly easily. And I think attendance will be good for at least the Bowling Green and the Pitt game. Now, depending on how those two games go, we'll decide the season and decide the rest of attendance.
I think, too, just with everything that happened last year, the fans are going to have an itch to get back out.
Wasn't it Butch's first season where the stadium was getting packed up again and everything was feeling the buzz around the city? Like, I was like probably like 10 when that happened, so I don't remember vividly around the city. But I feel like the talk of the news channels was that football was back, and obviously that didn't happen. But like the energy was there. I think Tennessee Vol fans will bring the energy this year, at least to open the season.
There wasn't like a lot of celebrating, I guess, when Butch got hired, but there was a lot of like.
Well, he hit us with the brick by brick, and we were all in.
There was a
that
lot
was
of,
all we needed.
There was a lot of hype, I guess, going into his like tenure with us, but nobody was like just celebrating the hell out of the hire.
No. No one was jumping for joy.
But people got excited.
He was selling tickets.
People
though.
Got excited for him up until after 2016.
Again,
the 2016
all it took
season
one
was
commercial, just brick by brick, like that. That was it.
Yeah, as soon as he teamed up with what was it, Charlie,
Farmer
from the
Charlie.
Farmers. Yeah, as soon as he teamed
I sat
up
next to him at a game one time.
You really? Sat next to Farmer Charlie?
Yeah,
that was, guy's one of my idols.
It was the Missouri game, I think, in 2019.
Holy cow!
Yeah, I he gave me a hat at, like, a Bearden football game. I think it was a Bearden Farragut game, maybe. And he was just sitting with a breast cancer awareness tent that just had a bunch of farmers insurance caps.
He was just up in section QQ so with me.
He actually, like, he's actually like an agent for farm.
I don't know if he's an agent. I know he's a real human being. I don't think he's a professional actor.
He's probably just a professional spokesperson.
Well, I mean, Matthew McConaughey is my favorite actor, but Charlie from Farmers Insurance is a close second. Farmer Charlie.
Where do you rank, like, amongst all the Charlies of all time? Like, you got Brown, you got Charlie, Farmer Charlie. Where do you rank yourself amongst the
number
Charlies
two.
Of all time?
Charlie
number
Day
two.
Is up there.
Charlie
number
Day.
One.
Charlie Kelly. Just, you got two Charlies and one human being right there.
I'm number two. I'm right behind Farmer Charlie.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I respect that. I
Charlie
respect
Pride?
That. Oh, that's a tough one. I can't compare myself to Charlie Pride.
What about Prince Charles?
Oh, I'm way above him. His family sucks. I hate the royal family. I'm the most anti-royal family guy, you know.
Okay. How'd you feel about the announcement of Lilibet?
I don't know what that means.
The new baby.
Good for them. Get her out.
Fair enough.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, dude, I hated
that kid. Sucks.
That kid blows.
And his grandfather is worse.
Oh, his grandfather is just a liar and a cheat.
Yeah, I mean, Grandpa Joe.
Laid in bed
I'm
for
sick.
20
we,
years.
We slander, we
I'm
slander
sick. Oh, you're
Grandpa
going on a
Joe
trip?
A lot on
I'm
show.
Not sick anymore. Wait, this is the show we slander
We slander
Grandpa
him
Joe?
A lot on this show. And then when I was on the overtime a couple weeks ago, me
you
and Tucker
slandered good.
Grandpa Joe.
Good, good. Then I won't go too hard in on him if he's already had enough slander.
That's a good point. Callum DM'd me, Charlie Daniels. Of course Charlie Daniels is number one. How? I mean, yeah, I can't compare it to some of these Charlies, man. But well, hey, let's get in.
I have an
in.
Uncle named Charlie. Maybe
he's probably ranked above you.
You know, I'm too humble for this.
I'm sure that's what it is. I'm sure that's what it is.
Let's catch a break here, and then let's get into the NBA playoffs. A lot of stuff going on there, but hey, big show today. And again, Aaron Fitt at the top of the hour. Stay tuned to the Blitz. Yeah, just letting it play a little bit. Back on the Blitz, 10:22.
It's the only song I know how to play on guitar.
You can play this?
Yeah, simple, man. It's a very simple song.
I mean, it seems simple, but I don't know. I can't play anything.
It's fair. I taught myself instruments, but continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, NBA playoffs are getting spicy. Obviously, we had a pretty incredible game last night.
A career-defining game
yeah, I mean,
last night.
Legacy
a potential,
game.
Yeah, a potential yeah, legacy game last night for Kevin Durant. And I'd say he passed the test with flying colors. So things started out pretty poorly for the Nets, to say the least.
Yeah, you could
down,
say that.
Down 29-15 at the end of the first quarter. Down 59-... Oh, shoot, I can't add 8, 15, and 28. But they were down, I think, 17 points.
43, I believe.
17 points. At
You'd be correct.
Let's go. Quick maths.
Yeah, I can't. Quick math, not my thing.
No, you mentioned earlier that you're bad with numbers. I understand.
Well, at halftime, you know, things were looking pretty out of hand. It was a 17-point game at half, right? Is that the math we just accomplished?
I was real close to tweeting I'm not having fun or
it
something
it was 59-43 at halftime. At that point, the win probability...
That's a 16-point differential.
Yeah, at that point, the win probability was up at 90% for the Bucks, and the highest it reached at any point last night was 94%. And then second half came around, and slowly Kevin Durant and the Nets started to really take over. They win the first or the third quarter by 10, and they win the fourth quarter by 12, and end up pulling out the 114-108 victory at home in front of the fans, and take a 3-2 lead in a series that looked like had escaped them. And Kevin Durant, obviously the big story of the night, 49 points
So close.
And a triple-double.
So close to 50.
49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. And it wasn't like he shot, you know, a ton of shots to get there, too, and wasn't efficient. The dude was 16 of 23. 4-9 from three. Played 48 minutes. I mean, he really put the team on his back last night. It was
what's the most impressive wild. Stat all of, out of all of that? Is it the shooting percentage? Is it going I 48 would, minutes? Is it the 49 points, the 10 assists, 17 rebounds? Like that, every single thing he did, you could pull one stat and be like, that made Kevin Durant. Like, that was the legacy game. If he only did one of those things, I feel like.
I mean.
Like, that's crazy to me.
You know, I think, I mean, the context of it being 48 minutes and him being that efficient is what really impressed me, especially that level of efficiency in a game that you have to come back in where you have to really, you know, force the issue a little bit. And it's impressive that he was able to maintain that level of efficiency when he did that. But, yeah, the Bucks on a night where they shoot 40% from three, you know, and almost 50% from the field, I mean, they just completely choked. Giannis had 34, Chris Middleton had 25, Drew Holiday had 19, and Brook Lopez had 15. And they still, you know, they just couldn't get enough out of anyone else on their bench. They got 15 bench points, and 10 of them came from Pat Connaughton.
Notre Dame legend. And old
P.J. Tucker had a goose egg. 0 points.
There were some disagreements had between P.J. Tucker and Blake Griffin at the end of the game. Yeah. I think the next game, going back to Milwaukee, if it starts to get out of hand on either side, there's going to be another disagreement had.
Well, Giannis had that opportunity there at the end of the game to, I think it was to tie it up, and maybe it was Middleton who tried to dish him the ball underneath
the basket.
Yeah. And he muffed it. Like, he was right there in his chest, and he just dropped the ball.
It was a bad play, but as a basketball guy, it's not Chris Middleton's fault. Like, you got to still make that catch and get that layup if you're Giannis. But if you're Chris Middleton, why are you throwing the ball low to a 7-footer when he's being guarded by guys shorter than him? Like, you got to get that ball up high and just let Giannis catch it and go up. It wasn't a clean pass, but you still got to make that catch. Mm-hmm. I would be remiss, though, if we didn't mention, not only was it the Kevin Durant legacy game, it was the Jeff Green legacy game. 7 of 8 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 8 of 11 from the field, 27 points, was plus 12 on the night. I mean,
wow.
Jeff Green, big.
Where did that come from?
And then you also had the late breaking news that Harden was going to play in this game.
Oh, I was so happy about that.
Harden went 46 minutes and scored 5 points.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable stat line.
clearly not healthy. I mean, statistically.
Why you play him 46 minutes?
Yeah, clearly, like, the fact that he was 1 of 10 from the field and 0 of 8 from 3, I mean, it should have told you, like, hey,
I guess maybe,
something's not right.
Maybe for his defense?
I mean, he had 8 assists. Defense, right? He had 8 assists, and that helped out a lot.
Definitely, only with 4 turnovers, too, so a 2-to-1 ratio is not bad at all.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it just helps with spacing. Like, you have to respect James Harden's ability to shoot.
I mean, I mentioned that last night when the news broke on overtime. Shout out to my program. Like, when the news broke, even if he doesn't do anything, like he didn't do anything last night, it really does just give you that next threat of, okay, even if KD is taking over like he did, you still have to guard James Harden. Like, you still have to guard Joe Harris. Bruce Brown and Blake Griffin are the only two guys you can really forget about, and Blake Griffin made him pay with 17 points. Poor Bruce Brown. I love Bruce Brown.
Oh, man.
Any name with alliteration. Just I love that. Bruce Brown is such a good
name.
What
about Philip Phillips? Remember the singer from back in the day?
It is a good name. It is a good name. Philip Fulmer, almost.
Philip Phillips, huh? Wasn't he on American Idol?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Good old Philip.
He might have been before your time, Will.
He was, but I always used to say, just like Philip Phillips, because I've heard that name before, I always used to say I was going to name my kid Steven Stevens or Steve Steven Stevens just to screw him over.
Where do you guys think the series goes from here? 3-2, going to Milwaukee.
I hope it goes to a game 7, because this has been really fun to watch.
It's been a fun series, but I think it's ending in 6. I think the Nets finally, I think this game proved, A, that KD's the best player. I think it kind of established a hierarchy. The talk when the super team was formed was, who's the number one guy, all of these different things, who's going to be the primary ball handler, who's going to be able to do everything. I mean, KD proved he could literally do everything. 48 minutes, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 49 points. I don't know if he's going to do that again, but I definitely think it's ending in 6 there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I can't remember who tweeted it. I want to say it was like Jay Williams or somebody, like some national basketball writer, put out, like, do you consider resting Durant?
Oh, Reggie Miller.
Oh, Reggie Miller. That's who it was. Do you consider resting Kevin Durant in Game 6 and put all your eggs into the Game 7 basket?
Yeah, here's the tweet. I'm just going to throw this out there to see what the response will be. If you're Steve Nash and the Nets, would you sit James Harden and Kevin Durant in Game 6 because of the heavy minutes tonight and push all your chips to the center of the table for Game 7? Quickly got met by the fastest ratio I've ever seen in my life.
That's one of the worst tweets I've ever seen.
8,000 likes, 760 or 7,675 quote tweets.
I mean, it's basically asking, hey, do you want two chances to try to win the series, or do you just want one chance?
You know, people get mad about load management in the regular season. Now Reggie's advocating for it for load management in the postseason.
Yeah, like, you know, these guys, yeah, they do go through a good bit physically, but, I mean, you're really telling me that you don't think an NBA player in their peak physical condition like Kevin Durant can't handle playing less than 50 minutes of basketball twice in a three-day span?
I guess Reggie Miller couldn't do it.
Like,
is he, like, dry snitching on himself of, like, if I was playing, I would want a game six?
I mean, obviously, it's, like, it's not the same because intensity-wise at all, and maybe this is a bad comparison, but, I mean, dudes go out there and play pickup basketball, like, 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, a little different, but I know what you're saying.
Like, I feel like maybe
you treaded water for 6 hours yesterday, and you probably could go tread water for six more if you wanted to.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, dude, this is one of the best athletes in the country. Like, he can play less than 50 minutes of basketball again. Come on now.
No, nope. Rest him. Rest him. And Harden.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I think the most frustrating thing was last night, him not getting 50. Just the look on his face when he missed that first free throw.
You want to know what's frustrating is I saw somebody who had a FanDuel same game ticket. She missed out on $18,000 because she needed one more three from Durant.
Wow.
Everything he gave you, and he couldn't give you one more three.
She needed five threes.
Well, that was a really aggressive bet, I feel like. Five threes from KD.
Yeah, that's not a smart bet.
That's how you get those crazy odds on those same game parlays, because it's like a $5 bet that pays out like 18 grand.
But this man brings backup dates when he goes on dates with porn stars. You don't think he's going to be able to play 50 minutes back-to-back?
I hope the kids is. I really hope the kids is.
It's definitely not. But
we're going to have a Drake situation.
That would be very funny.
Oh, that kid is going to be an elite athlete, and we're going to have to hear announcers talk about how that child is one of a porn star and also Kevin Durant.
I mean, that's two of the best athletes of our generation just in two separate
And then if Rick
Barnes
coaches for 18 more years, then
perhaps.
You know, we got an
in. Is this the next Bronny?
We got an in
we
there.
We got an in. We also have some really big injury news, but let's go ahead and just get into that the next segment. And if you want to call in, our phone lines are open right now. We'll go ahead and take your calls, 865-546-8200. Go ahead and call in. You're listening to The Blitz. Stay tuned in. Back on the Blitz, Charlie, Will, GP3 hanging out with you, talking the NBA playoffs, and well, we got a couple bombshells drop on us this morning, man. I wasn't ready for that kind of news before 10 a.m., but
Woj just doing work.
Yeah,
early.
I mean, here we are.
Gives us something to talk about.
Some West Coast news too. So like, both of those teams are in the Pacific time zone. That's coming out at
3 a.m.
Like,
their time,
like 6 in the morning. All right, GP3, am I starting with the Suns news or the Clippers news?
I feel like we can talk about the Clippers first, because I feel like there's a lot more to talk about going into the Suns.
All right, Clippers news first then. They're in a 2-2 series right now. They went down 2-0 to the Jazz and then had two pretty convincing wins, and now they'll have game 5 on the road tonight. And all of a sudden, we get a little news break this morning.
Something I wasn't expecting.
Not at all. I didn't notice this.
Really?
At all, really.
I saw said person go out, but in a press conference they said they were fine. And, like, what is a player going to
say? According to ESPN, sources say that Clippers star Kawhi Leonard could potentially miss the rest of the series with a knee injury. Leonard tweaked the knee on a drive late in the Clippers' Game 4 victory, grimacing in pain as he planted on the way to the basket. He stayed briefly, didn't finish the game. He informed his teammates late Tuesday that he would be out for Wednesday, sources had said. He was not on the Clippers' injury report Tuesday, which is interesting, but he did suffer, you know, a quad tendon injury in his right knee in 2017, and he has dealt with injuries more recently in his left knee. LA is already without Serge Ibaka, who had back surgery last week. And Kawhi really has been their team. He's been, you know, 27.3 points a game in the playoffs, 7.5 rebounds a game. And he is that driving force for them. The Clippers, who all of a sudden, I mean, it felt like they were in control of the series all of a sudden. I mean, they had two really convincing wins, and it looked like they had the Jazz's number. They were getting better contributions from the rest of their lineup, and Pandemic P looked more like Playoff P.
Yeah, 30,
from back in the day.
30 points in the last game.
But if Kawhi Leonard doesn't play again in this series, realistically, do the Clippers still have any kind of chance?
I mean, like, Playoff P is still Paul George. He's still a fantastic basketball player, made all-star lineups, all these different things, but you haven't seen him be able to step up by himself once. Like, he's always fallen once you kind of needed him to be the number one guy. I don't see it happening. I don't see, like, we kind of had joked about it earlier this week with their starting lineup and me just making fun of the people who are in it. But, like, I don't see Nicholas Batum stepping up. I don't see Marcus Morris Sr. giving you 24 again. I don't see Reggie Jackson really pouring it all on. I could be wrong. Like, one of these guys could step up, but, like, you think Luke Kennard's going to step up and drop 30 for you? Do you think Terrence Mann's going to be able to step up and drop 30 for you? Pat Bev? I don't see another guy on this roster who can contribute like Kawhi can.
Well, could we be finding ourselves in another legacy game situation? Like, Kevin Durant needed a legacy game. Does Playoff P need one now?
I just don't even know if you can put Playoff P in the same conversation with KD.
I mean, I don't think
he's ready for a legacy game, I don't know how to
phrase those battles he went back and forth with LeBron back in the day when he was with Indiana. I mean,
that was some high level basketball. That was like, what, 2 years though? Two playoffs worth of that, and then he hasn't really been the same since. I mean, he could drop 60 tonight and pull out a game 5 win, and to me, like, he still has more to prove. Like, that wouldn't be enough for me.
No, I think if he goes out there and drops 60 and beats the Jazz without Kawhi, I think that would prove a lot to me. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, like, I would be impressed, but, like, I still wouldn't. That wouldn't, you know, one game wouldn't be enough for me. I don't know. I guess, like, I'm also not really much of a Paul George guy. Maybe I'm being a little biased there, but.
What if he, like, Kawhi doesn't play the rest of the series and Paul George leads them to a series win?
I mean, they don't have a lot more respect for Paul George, and, you know, I'll make fun of him a little less. that's for sure. I mean, Paul George is what he is. He is not a tier one guy in the NBA. But he is a high towards the top of tier two, and I don't know if he can make that jump to tier one, but I don't think he'll ever fall below towards the top of tier two either.
Yeah, Paul George, when he was in the 2013 NBA Eastern Conference Finals, was second on the team in points on the Pacers. Roy Hibbert was number one with 22.1 points per game, 10 rebounds per game. Paul George averaged 19, 6, and 5. David West averaged 16 on that team. George Hill averaged 13. He was the number one guy, but still not producing as the number one guy. They really used Roy Hibbert and his size to get in on Chris Bosh and Chris Anderson, Birdman.
Oh, Birdman.
As well. Old Birdman out there. But no, I mean, I don't know. I definitely, like, if he steps up and wins a game for him, I'll be impressed. But I still think the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell's been a little bit banged up. Obviously, it's real dependent on if and when Mike Conley can return, but, like, I think the Jazz are going to finish out this series. It's just all going to be going into Phoenix. You gotta worry about how healthy you are for Phoenix.
Speaking of Phoenix.
Yeah, there we go. Good transition there. Sad news. Our man CP3 cannot catch a break. Suns in four. Suns make it to the Western Conference Finals. And all of a sudden, a little news drops this morning that Phoenix Suns point guard Chris Paul has entered the NBA's health and safety protocols and is out indefinitely, jeopardizing the Stars' availability for the Western Conference Finals. A source confirmed to ESPN's Malika Andrews. The NBA's rules for COVID-related isolation periods have evolved throughout the season in correlation with increasing vaccine numbers. So if Paul is already vaccinated against COVID-19, he could be facing a shorter absence from the Suns. Just a really tough result. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know, does he have COVID or was he around? Was he at an event he shouldn't have been at? Like, we don't know that yet.
Maybe Oscar from The Office gave him COVID during one of those commercials on accident.
I mean, there have been examples of players missing multiple weeks after some positive COVID test, but there have also been examples of players missing very, very short time spans for matters such as contact tracing investigations and such like that. So I'm sure we will be learning more as we continue on, you know, and get closer to the Western Conference Finals about how long indefinitely really is. But it's a tough one, I guess. Now, if you're a Suns fan, you're rooting for seven games in that Jazz Clippers series, that's for sure.
Yeah, you want as much time as you can to see what's going down. Do they have any days or anything about the difference between vaccinated players and unvaccinated players in the NBA? Or is it just you can come back quicker is the only
thing
they
say?
It's
just quicker is what has been said, yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's maybe Suns in groups of four or less people type deal. It's not just Suns in four. Like, you maybe need to separate the team a little bit. I don't know. I mean, this team is known for doing some non-COVID-safe things in groups of seven. If you're catching my drift, so maybe there was something to that extent where they went out and partied, did something of that nature, and maybe got themselves in trouble of a close contact or just someone who's outside of the team. As you're probably celebrating a sweep, maybe celebrated a little too hard.
I didn't even realize the NBA was still doing this. Like, this is the first time.
So there's going to be a lot of outrage if it comes out that, you know, he wasn't directly exposed to COVID, or he didn't actually have a positive COVID test, but instead he just broke the COVID protocols. Because if you guys remember correctly, Mr. LeBron James,
yeah,
back as the NBA playoffs were getting started, also broke COVID protocols to go to his tequila event and face no punishment from
the
NBA.
But do we know if he's vaccinated? Like, no one's asking that question. So everyone's just like, oh, the rules are the rules.
LeBron,
but they did say that
LeBron
the rules are different for vaccinated players. I'm just asking.
We don't know if LeBron's vaccinated. We do know that he's publicly spoke about his distrust for the vaccine. So that would lead me to think probably not. But apparently most of the event was COVID safe. For the most part.
I mean, every event is going to be quote-unquote COVID safe. No one's going to say, hey, we're having an unsafe party.
We're having
right
a COVID
here.
Party.
Razor blades are just sitting on the ground. You know what I mean? No mask allowed. Like, every party is going to be COVID safe.
Chris LeVert, like, he got a two-week suspension like 3 weeks before LeBron did almost the same thing, and LeBron didn't even get a memo.
I guess when you're hanging out with, like, members of the Illuminati, like, LeBron's, like, was hanging out with Drake and, like, guys who were, like, way up there in the rankings of the world, maybe it's a little different. Like, these guys can't even get COVID. They're immune to it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's some sort of freaky thing we don't know. Eyes wide shut type deal. We don't know what's going on.
I don't know. At this point, it just seems overkill. Just, especially if he doesn't have a positive test.
If he doesn't have a positive test.
If they're holding him out for contact tracing at this point, I just...
Maybe his kid got sick or something. Like, maybe it's an inside-the-house type deal.
Okay. The only thing I'm saying is if he's not positive, I just don't see how you hold him out. That's the only thing I'm... like.
I would agree with that. You know, I think there's a chance that he is still ready for game one. Like, we still don't know a lot about this. And that series that's going on now can go on for a while. So certainly, you know, there is still a lot to be learned about this. There's a lot to be seen.
Yeah, and definitely means unlimited or unspecified. And I think we're just on the unspecified part. I don't think we're at the unlimited part of time missing.
Now, can the Suns win without CP3?
No.
Probably
no.
not.
No.
Probably not, especially, you
not
know.
Against either the Jazz or the Clippers.
Final segment of Hour 1 coming up next. On the other side, let's do that hockey. Final segment of Hour 1, Charlie Will, GP3, here on the Blitz. We got Aaron Fitt coming up at the top of Hour 2. Got a little opening drive for you, a little Tennessee football to talk. But hey, right now, let's do that hockey. One hockey game last night, that was it. We're at that point in the season now where you're just going 1-1, back and forth. Kind of sad. It's always kind of sad to me when you get to the, like, when your team's not in it and then you start to get to the end where you just don't get a ton of games anymore. I miss it.
The Final Four in college basketball, always exciting, but a little depressing because you know there's only one more game.
Yeah, you go from that first weekend of March Madness to...
You're almost ODing on college basketball.
It's kind of the same thing. And then you get to the Final Four and...
There's so much.
It's exciting, but so... Also disappointing. The
as long as it is, unless your team's in it, yeah, then it does just feel a little disappointing. But one game last night, game two of the Islanders and the Lightning. Chance didn't go. I was really disappointed in him. I was really trying to talk him into going to catch some playoff hockey. He looked like he had a nice night out with his girlfriend, though, so props to Chance.
I don't know if he would be allowed in. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the ones who you have to wear Tampa Bay Lightning gear in order to like really sit on the front row.
They did apologize for that.
They did?
And they changed their rules.
Okay. Because I remember the viral video of the kid, the dad.
They were trying to kick out a 12-year-old for wearing a Florida Panthers jersey, and that just did not go over well. But last night, Braden Point got the scoring started in the first period. Then Nelson got a little unassisted goal, a nice little guy. On the power play for the Islanders to tie it up at one. Just one goal in the second period. Pelot from Hedman and Kucherov put the Lightning up 2-1.
That one was a very controversial goal because that was their second goal, obviously put them up 2-1, but there was a no review because you can't review it, but there were seven players on the ice when that goal was scored for the Lightning. Barry Trotz not happy about it post-game.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like that should be something that should be able to be overturned.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I mean, you can do it in football. You can do it in every sport where if there's too many men, it's a penalty you can review to see how many people.
Well, I think if they call too many men, like, I think you can even look and be like, oh, shoot, there weren't too many men, right? Am I not mistaken?
I think you're right.
I feel
right
like
there.
I've seen that review before. So it really, it didn't make sense to me last night. And I was watching it from Market Square on, like, a projector on the side of a building with no audio. So I was definitely confused when I was just like,
no subtitles on the screen.
One, two, no subtitles, nothing. I was like, is that seven? What's going on here?
Yeah. Cause hockey's five. So that's two extra guys. That's a lot more than just like accidentally having one guy trying to make a shift change while you're on the ice or something like that. Like seven guys is a good amount of extra guys.
Rolling things over to the third period though. You know, it's kind of tough to bounce back from a goal like that, you know, emotionally when it gives them that lead going into the third, it kind of, you know, brings you down. And the Lightning took advantage of that. They jumped on it. Ruta with a goal right at the beginning of the third. Then Hedman, he gets a power play goal about halfway through the third period. Put the Lightning in control 4-1. Barzal does put one in for the Islanders a little later to make it 4-2, but the Lightning take that one 4-2. They looked a whole lot better than they did in game one, and last night was more so how I expect the series to go. Game one was a little bit surprising. I like the Lightning here a lot.
Really? I that's been the talk. It's just like the Bruins and the Islanders were just playing for whoever's gonna get beat by the Lightning. But that game one, it surprised me too. I think you have a series on your hand here. I think this one's
going
to be a good one.
Certainly when the Islanders go get one on the road, you can feel pretty good about their chances in the series. And you know, I think we'll get, I think, at least six games here. I still like the Lightning here. They're playing really good hockey, and they're such a talented team.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they're so deep. I mean, even the third and fourth line, there's a lot of speed, a lot of skill. Got one game tonight, the Canadiens and the Golden Knights. It was not pretty for the Canadiens in game one of that series.
No, it was not.
They got beat pretty bad. But, you know, honestly, if you go back and look at that game, the Canadiens weren't playing all that bad. I mean, they even had more scoring chances than Vegas to start the game in like the first 10 or so minutes. And then really it kind of became an avalanche.
Good pun.
Yeah, well, it kind of became an avalanche once the Golden Knights, you know, got up on the board. They really took control of that game. But, you know, I think the Canadiens, they're still going to show you a little something tonight. They've seen the Golden Knights now. They've seen, you know, a crowd for the first time all year now. I think you're going to get a pretty good game. I'm excited for it. That's at 9 o'clock tonight on NBC Sports Network. And Vegas Moneyline, they're minus 260. So Vegas, cool, not giving the Habs much of a chance. You hardly ever see a Moneyline like that the semifinals of a major sport.
Is that a homer pick? Just Vegas is so on Vegas.
But, hey, we did that hockey. That was hour one of the Blitz. And in hour two, got a lot more coming for you. Opening drive, obviously. Some MLB talk, some Vols talk, an action-packed hour two. But when we return on the other side, Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball joining the show. Stay locked in to the Blitz.